AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk. Welcome back to the program, everybody. You are tuned to AgriTalk. Davis Michelson behind the big green leafy microphone this morning and this afternoon. Chip will rejoin us tomorrow morning. In the meantime, I get to have a conversation with Dr. Michael Langemeyer from Purdue University. Dr. Langemeyer, welcome to AgriTalk again. It's great to have you with us, sir.
Glad to be here.
The Ag Economy Barometer is out just today, right? The 7th. This month's barometer survey was conducted from October 16 through 20. We saw a modest improvement in farmer sentiments, but something interesting here. In particular, producers reported better financial conditions in October than in September, although that did not translate into a more favorable investment outlook among survey respondents. Dr. Langemeyer, start us off here on the Ag Economy Barometer, please.
Yes, the barometer did increase from 106 to 110, and both the sub-indices, the index of current conditions and the index of future expectations, increased with a larger increase in the index of future expectations. And I think it's important to point out right now that the index of future expectations is higher than the index of current conditions. And so that's really provides some strength or stabilization for land values. The respondents are still quite optimistic regarding land values, not only next year, but in particular, 5 years out. And so I think that's very noteworthy. As you indicated, the financial performance index did increase a little bit. And usually that index increases when the index of current conditions increases. Those tend to move together. And so both of those moved in a positive direction. What exactly is going on there? Why? Well, I have a hunch that's part of that is stronger than expected crop yields. Mm-hmm. That's particularly true, I think, in the Eastern Corn Belt. I think the yields are surprising some people, given some of the weather patterns we saw this summer. And we didn't ask that question directly, but I have a hunch that's part of what's going on there with the strength in the financial index.
Can you talk about maybe the seasonality of sentiments? It seems like very easily yields could have gone the other way, and a survey taking place between October 16 and 20 probably would reflect sentiments that show yields aren't going as well. Is that fair to say, or not necessarily?
Yes, there is seasonality to the index, and in particular, when you get around harvest in the October-November surveys, if the yields are relatively strong or better than expected, is probably the way to word that, because it's this sentiment, you do see an uptick in sentiment. If it's the reverse, you see that the sentiment weaken a little bit. And certainly given the large price changes we've seen from 22 to 23, you'd expect that there has to be something that's making them a little bit more positive when you compare October to September. And that's why I point to perhaps it's crop yields.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could be convinced for sure. Absolutely. I'm curious, better financial conditions, but didn't translate into a more favorable investment outlook. So does that mean that financial conditions are just good enough that producers feel secure, they feel good about their book for next year, and yet it's not quite better enough that they're thinking, oh, you know what, I should really throw this at my nest egg here a little bit? Are they holding on to cash? What's the story with the less favorable investment outlook?
I think they're holding on to cash, and part of that is, when you look at the extended futures prices for corn and soybeans, for example, they remain relatively low. compared to what they were last year in particular. And so that's a situation where people usually hold on to their cash, want to make sure they have strong working capital moving into an environment where you're expecting to see lower prices. Also, what's still really nagging producers here, if you will, is the higher input cost or the high input cost. When you look at budgets for 24, it looks like their input costs might be a little bit lower in 24 compared to 23, but they're still really high compared to, for example, 2021. And that still remains the largest concern of producers is these high input costs, not necessarily the lower prices, but the high input costs. Secondly, and this translates to having a lot of importance for investment in machinery is they're concerned about the high interest rates. Mm-hmm. And so you combine the high interest rates with the fact that machinery prices are relatively high, whether you're looking at new machinery or used machinery, and that's just scaring some people away from using some of that good cash flow that they've seen that they've experienced the last couple of years and using that to necessarily invest a lot of money in machinery and buildings.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, we've seen those machinery prices are sticky. Well, land values too. I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want to get this out here because I think it's significant. This month you have noted the highest farm financial performance reading since April. That reading at a 92 was 7% above a year ago on the farm financial performance. And if you're talking about we've had a great farm financial performance, according to our survey respondents, and yet they want to hold on to that. And that's just very telling to me. Very interesting. We got to move on. Talk to me about land values. Go on.
Yeah, the fact that it's 92 does mean that they think the financial performance is lower in 23 compared to 22, but not necessarily crashed. That's the important point there is yes, it's lower, consistent with the U.S. net farm income projection that forecast or projections or estimates that say U.S. net farm income is lower in 23 and 22. That's very consistent with what we're seeing right now with that index. You know, moving on to land values, they're still quite optimistic, both with respect to short run changes in land values, but in particular, looking at 5 years out, 65% think that land values are going to be higher five years from now than they are today. And that's why I mentioned the fact that the index of current conditions is higher than the index of current conditions. I think when the index of future expectations is relatively high, compared to the other index, that's supportive of land values. And that's exactly what we're seeing. That index of future expectations is quite correlated with that question, what are land values going to be 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was it? Nearly two-thirds, 65% of survey respondents expect farmland values to rise over the next 5 years. Talking to land guys, there had been an expectation in months previous to now that, we're getting maybe a little toppy here, but that doesn't mean that the bottom's going to fall out of the land market. In fact, many favor sort of a pause. Is that kind of what we're seeing reflected here as well?
We don't ask them specifically about what they expect in terms of increases, but that's what I'm reading into the results is more stable to maybe slightly higher. I mean, we're always going to remember that inflation is still ticking away here at 3-5%, and so if you keep prices, real prices the same, you expect the land prices to go up 3-5%, and so I think that's consistent with everything else I've heard, not necessarily Ag Economy Barometer survey. Very specific. Everything else I heard that more of a stable land price market rather than a sharp drop or a sharp increase.
Yep. Speaking of sharp drop, it does appear that the summer swoon for fertilizers and inputs is over. We're seeing prices still below a year ago, but on the move higher, and that's a concern that arrived in your survey as well.
Definitely. I mean, the biggest concern being that those high input costs and coming in second is that rising interest rates. And so I can't overemphasize the importance of interest rates, not only to operating interest costs, but they really put a damper, if you will, on investments of any sort. whether that be machinery, buildings, or land, it's gonna keep a lid on some of those capital investments, because we're looking at a 4% plus increase in interest rates from a year to 15 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Langemeyer, you are parked right in the middle of a great, great agricultural center there in the state of Indiana. I wonder if you can just talk about the man on the street. What are you seeing out there, yield-wise, on corn and soybeans? What are you hearing in your conversations with folks?
Higher than expected. That's the words I hear. I also hear significantly above trend. I don't hear specific. I don't want to convey specific numbers, because the sample size is small. But certainly those words would come to mind when you're talking to a farmer that's in his combine.
Boy, weathering a year like this, I feel like must certainly breed persistence for those rotational farmers. Have you heard of any changes? Did the survey raise any flags on changes based on the weather in any areas?
Yeah, we did ask a question related to weather, and essentially it said, have you made any changes in your farming operation response to weather? And 25% said yes. So that was a pretty large percentage that said yes. Yeah. And the main things they identified were short-term, like maybe planting more drought-resistant varieties, which is an extremely important change, maybe changing their mix of crops planted, which would include cover crops, and then adopting or increasing the use of no-till. And so those were picked more frequently than some of the capital investments. But nevertheless, 10% of those people that said that they made change either invested in tile drainage or irrigation. So we're seeing a lot of different responses to changing with weather, with most of them focusing on the short term. And I want to go back to that drought-resistant varieties. Mm-hmm. I think weather like we've seen this year across the entire Corn Belt just tells you how resilient some of these varieties really are to inclement weather.
Absolutely. Dr. Michael Langemeyer from Purdue, we really appreciate the conversation here and for you spending some time with us. It's Dr. Michael Langemeyer from Purdue University for the Ag Economy Barometer. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And we will wrap up this morning's program. You know what? I went over them Friday, but maybe let's just talk fertilizer prices a little bit, and then I got a couple of the news items right here on AgriTalk.